Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Thursday, August 27th, 2015. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. I'm delighted to be joined by Get Reading's Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, mate. It's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken. Circumstances seem to have conspired against us for this show recently.
It has. It's been a while, mate. I can't remember what it was 2 weeks ago, but last Friday I was enjoying a few beers at the Ashes, watching England get absolutely hammered, but didn't matter because we'd already had the little urn in the bag.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the week before I was absolutely waylaid by traffic, and then I was off to a wedding last Thursday, so it was just a case of getting the dates together. But we're back, and Reading haven't been beaten since we spoke, so I suppose that's one positive. We've only won once, but at the same time, you can't really argue with a team that's sitting here, what, five games unbeaten?
Yeah, it's a decent little run, but without picking up many points in the league, unfortunately. I think they'd probably, if you ask them now, they'd probably take a scrappy 1-0 defeat somewhere, but sort of turn a couple of those draws into wins, if you see what I mean. It's been a strange start to the season, isn't it? Because they're playing well. Well, I think they're playing well. They're not, you know, ripping up trees or anything, but they're playing well. Well, they just can't stick the ball in there. And so they're sitting on 3 points in the league. But like you say, five games unbeaten, they're looking very solid at the back. And the way they're playing, you tend to think that the wins are going to come fairly quickly at some point. Once they get one sort of scramble, a 1-0 win, something like that, you think they'll probably kick on and really get into the season then.
I was going to say, obviously it's been three or four games now since we've spoken, but what's the most encouraging thing you've seen, and what's the thing that you think Reading really still need to work on?
Most encouraging thing I've seen, it's not really just one thing. I just think as a team, I think they're looking an awful lot better. I look at this team now, and I think it's a decent team. I looked at the team last year, and I never fancied them to win games, really, to be honest. They just didn't look... It didn't look anything special. You always thought they were going to concede plenty of goals because they weren't scoring many as well. You thought as soon as one goal went in, that was it. They'd lost. And this team, they look really solid. Paul McShane is... I liked Alex Pearce. I thought he was a decent defender. Paul McShane is a vast improvement on Alex Pearce. I think he's been fantastic since he's arrived. And alongside Arnold Ferdinand, they just looked so, so solid. Oliver Norwood, who I think has been Reading's best player this season so far, sort of sitting in front of them, offering them plenty of protection. And obviously with Chris Gunter and Jordan Beaton on the flanks, sort of the left-back, right-back position. I just think they look really solid. They don't look like they're going to concede many goals. I think they've conceded 29 shots or something so far this season, which is far less than anyone else in the league. And it's mightily impressive, that. But unfortunately, when you sort of look further forward, the goals aren't coming at the other end. So that instead of winning these games that they should be winning, they're drawing. So that's a bit of a negative. But positive-wise, I just think there's been plenty to take from this season so far. And I just think it looks a far better team than what we saw last year.
Yeah, one of the most encouraging things for me was at Portsmouth, the fact that Reading went behind. Now, only once in 16 previous attempts had Reading come from behind to win a game. They managed it at Fratton Park. Yeah, you can say it was league to opposition, it was League Cup, weekend side, whatever you like. But it's a Reading come from behind victory, which is something you haven't seen very much in the past 3 years. And when you add that into the fact they came within a penalty, you know, scored a penalty away from doing the same at Birmingham, there just seems a lot more spirit in this side. You get the feeling they believe that they can get results. It's just that little bit of the final touches, that the shooting, just that quality in the final third that's missing.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that. There is something missing going forward, but I think they've also been very bereft of any sort of luck so far this season as well. Like, pretty much everything that has gone against, that could go against them, has gone against them so far this season. They could easily be sitting there on sort of 8, 9, 10 points by now instead of just 3. And so I'm really confident. I think we're going to have a decent season this year. I mean, obviously there's a lot with what we're Thursday now. We've got 4 days, 5 days till the transfer window shuts. So I think there's going to be some business done between now and then. And when you look at that squad next Tuesday, once the international break started, and you can really sit down and take stock of where Reading are as a club in terms of the season, I think we're all going to be feeling fairly good about what's ahead.
Absolutely. Well, we'll come on to some of the transfer rumours in just a moment. A lot of strikers linked with the club, but I just wanted to very quickly get your thoughts on the goalkeeping situation, because obviously Alia Habs, he didn't cover himself in glory on Tuesday night in that win at Portsmouth, and the previous midweek, Jonathan Bond dropped a bit of a clanger against Sheffield Wednesday as well. Do you see this as a problem position now for Reading, or is it just a case of sticking with Bond and just giving him the time to bed in?
I do see it as a problem position, actually. That's my one real negative of the season so far. I think that goalkeeping-wise, they both look a bag of nerves, and that's not helpful. I think we're all so used to, say, last season and the season before with Alex, just having a very solid goalkeeper at the back who you knew wasn't going to make too many errors. I know they obviously did make errors because that's what goalkeepers do, but not too many, certainly not on a match-by-match basis. And that's not the same now. I think that, Al Habsi, every time I see him, looks like he's got a mistake in him. He's obviously an experienced international goalkeeper, and he's decent. He's a decent keeper, but he doesn't fill you with confidence, if you know what I mean. You watch him and you think every time a ball comes close to him, every time he's got the ball at his feet, you think what's going to happen here is an error waiting to happen. And Bond is fairly similar. I've got to say, I do like what I've seen from Bond, but I'm just not quite sure he's ready to be a number one, and I'm not sure if he was signed to be a number one. And Clark's not said this to me, he's not confirmed it, but I just get the feeling that Al Habsi was brought in as a number one, but Clark has quickly sort of decided, oh, hold on, I don't fancy him that much, having looked at him in match time and training, and suddenly Bond's been promoted to number one pretty quickly, and it's a worry for me. It's like that saying, isn't it, you don't know what you got till it's gone, and since Feds has gone, you kind of long for him to sort of see him behind that back four at the moment, because if he was there, Reading would be even stronger than they are.
Yeah, I've got a lot of, I've got a lot of time. Jonathan Bond, obviously, he's been in the England setup. He's got some good reviews and been at a decent club in Watford. But when Steve Clark's just saying on the radio, well, I've told the defenders not to pass back to his left foot, I'm just sat there thinking, they're not always going to be in a position to pass back to his right. And if that's the standard kicking we're getting on his left, I'm a little bit worried. But yeah. Do you think it's an area they might look strengthen, or is it a case of they're just going to have to stick with it and hope one of them comes into form?
I can't imagine they're going to look to strengthen now. I think they're going to have, they've brought them both in this summer, they're going to have to stick with them and give them a go. I mean, I think Bond, he's got the attributes to be a very good keeper. I've seen he's impressed me. I've watched him in training. I've watched him in some match situations. He impressed me, but he's just very young. You look at that Sheffield Wednesday goal. It's like 5 minutes before that, he got away with one very similar when he came for a cross, didn't claim it under pressure, dropped it. But luckily, I can't remember, one of the defenders cleared it away. And that's, you should be learning from that. And when a cross comes in 5 minutes later in injury time, in really wet conditions, under pressure in the last minute, he came for it. He shouldn't have come for it. It was never his ball to come for, and there was plenty of defenders he could clear. But when he made that decision to come for it and you're under pressure, just punch it. Don't try and gather it when you're, confidence has clearly been knocked just a few minutes before and you're 1-0 up in injury time. Just put your fist through it and get it away, even if it goes only 10 yards out for a throw, and just get it away. And it's little scenarios like that where I just think he's not quite ready, he's not quite got the experience to be a number one goalkeeper in the Championship.
Well, we'll see. Thankfully, he's got a good goalkeeping coach in Dave Besant that's been there and done it all. So, fingers crossed, with a bit more match experience and some time in the training ground, that'll be sorted out. But as we mentioned, striker is one position that Reading are certainly looking like they need a little bit of reinforcement. And that is where the bulk of the transfer rumours are coming from, either striker or just behind the striker. Three names I want to put to you today, Charles, and hopefully give us the latest. I'll start with the longest running one of them all, Robert Berich.
Yes, isn't it?
Is this gonna happen, or is this just continued, media speculation?
It's certainly. I spoke to Clark about it today, and Clark, he doesn't talk about transfers, and I gave him the opportunity to deny that the bid had been made, the club record bid, what would be a club record if it is accepted and the player joins, and he didn't deny it. He kind of said, "Oh, we don't talk about transfers. That's them talking about the transfer. We don't talk about it till it's done." But he wouldn't say on the record if it was any truth in it. But, it's coming from the sporting director over at Rapid Vienna, so he's not going to be lying about this bid. So a bid's clearly gone in, a fresh bid's clearly gone in, a big bid has clearly gone in. But he's a very in-demand striker. St Etienne want him. They've had a lower bid rejected, but are still very interested. I think they've got Europa League qualifiers tonight, and a lot could depend on that. I've just seen that from his agent that an unnamed Belgian club, a big club, has just come in at the last minute as well. Whether that's agent speak for raise your offer to Reading or whatever.
The agent trying to raise the price.
Exactly. Never. You never know. But I think it's going to run and run this one. We've got 5 days left. It's basically gone on the whole summer already, hasn't it? We've got 5 days left for Reading to try and get it over the line. I think if you're asking me if it's going to happen, I just can't say if it's going to happen or not. I don't know. It depends on the player. It depends on the agent. And Rapid Vienna even want to give him a new contract till 2019 at the moment as well. So I suppose it depends on what they're offering him and if he's happy there. So I think we're just going to have to wait a little bit longer and see if this one does work out. If it does, Reading have got one hell of a striker, judging by his record on their hands.
I was going to say, what is your gut feeling? Will we be seeing him in African Violet? in a few weeks' time?
I want to say yes. I really do want to say yes. But I just look at the other clubs who are supposedly in for him, and I just wonder, does he want to come to the Championship with his stock so high at the moment, having just, you know, played well, or although they've gone out, played well in Champions League qualifiers? You kind of look at, would Saint-Étienne be more of a lure for him? You'd think surely it would be playing in Ligue 1. And if this is true about this Belgian club and a top Belgian club, so you have to be thinking it must be someone like Anderlecht or Club Brugge, someone like that. If they're coming in for him, would he want to go there rather than the Championship again? You kind of think yes, but I suppose that money talks, doesn't it? And if Reading are offering more wages-wise than those clubs are, which they easily could be, given the finances in English football, then maybe he could. But I hunch, I would say no. But that's just a hunch, but yeah, based on absolutely nothing.
My thought process goes exactly along the same lines as you. I think if this was a one-club bid, I would fancy our chance of getting it done, but with the interest in him and the profile he's got, I suppose we're just not used to seeing Reading win those type of bidding wars for players like that. And we've seen it recently in the last few seasons when you talk about people like Gylfi Sigurdsson and Thomas Ince and people like that. Reading have been linked with some big money moves in the past, but they just haven't been able to clinch it. So love to be proved wrong, but we are going to have to wait, 5 days?
The thing is with this one, Reading must be very confident that they can get him, because they've not dropped out of the race for this one. They've kept sort of maintained it the whole summer, waiting until Rapid are out of the Champions League and are still pushing for it. There's only a few days left. They desperately need a striker. And it kind of seems like all their eggs are in the Berets basket, unless obviously football clubs work very much under the radar as well. They could have other targets lined up and ready to go if this one falls through. But you kind of get the impression that they've very much been focused on getting Berets over the line. And for them to do that, they must have a decent inkling that, you know, he wants to come, or they've got a good chance of getting him. So that could be a positive.
Well, two of the things, well, one of the questions we've had every week on the podcast, it seems, or the main edition of the show into the mailbag, has been, you know, do you expect Steve Clarke to use those Chelsea loan links? Obviously, last season we saw Nathan Ake and Chalobah come in. Chalobah is again linked with a return to the Medeski Stadium, but another name that's come somewhat out of left field is Lucas Piazon, the Brazilian. Now, we've already had our first ever Spanish signing. Could we be seeing a bit more Samba flair again in African violet?
Well, the signs suggest so. I've got to say on this one came completely out of the blue. This is a rival Paul at the Chronicle came out with this one, and I've got absolutely no reason to doubt him on this one. I know Paul well, and I know what contacts he's got at various places. And if he says this one's on, then I have absolutely no reason to doubt him at all. And it'd be an exciting one. I mean, he did very well in Holland a couple of years back, didn't he? He didn't set the world alight in Germany, although he scored a stunning free kick that I've been watching this morning and enjoying while over there. But he certainly looks an exciting player. Can play on the left wing, can play sort of number 10, can play as a forward as well. Left wing's the area that interests me, because I do think Reading need to improve that left-hand side. What happens with Robson Kanu in the next few days, nothing suggests that he's going anywhere, but I still think Reading could well look at improving that side. If it does come off, it's an exciting one, but I have to say that this one's come from elsewhere. I can't take any credit for or anything like that for digging this one out. This is all Paul's work, and I think we've got to sit back and trust him on that one.
What about Chalobah then? Is this one likely to happen?
As far as I'm aware, this one's been pretty much done. I think I wrote a story in a couple of weeks ago saying it was Reading were close, and I've been waiting for it to be announced ever since, really. So nothing's changed for me in that one. I actually expected it to be announced last week, and it wasn't. So, but I think Reading, this one's pretty much been tied up for a couple of weeks. What the delay is, I'm not sure, but I certainly expect to see Nathaniel back here.
Yeah, well, I think if you get even two of those three, I think, and then you look at the overall body of work in this transfer window, I think you sit there and say they've done pretty well. And it wouldn't be against, you know, wouldn't be against tight for Reading to pull off another loan signing late on the day. You never know what sort of moves transpire. So if we did, say, get two of those three, would you be happy?
I'd be very happy. But I think getting Berets is the important thing, because I just think Reading desperately need a striker. He's going to score plenty of goals. I think Orlando Sarr's looked very good since he's arrived. I've been really impressed with him, and he's getting better with each game as well. But I'm still not sure he's going to bang in 20 a season. And obviously, you don't know if Berets is going to do that, but I think I'd have slightly more confidence that Berets will over here. Obviously, a lot rests on the service they get provided as well. And I think Gareth McCleary coming back is going to help Orlando a lot, and obviously Paolo Hurtado when he gets up to speed. If someone like Piazon does come in, if Fernandez gets himself settled, suddenly Redden are going to be a hell of a lot more creative than they have been, and that's going to help Orlando Sarr. But I think if they can get Berich in, if they get that one over the line, I think it's been a fantastic transfer window.
Excellent. Well, one man who has been linked with a move out, and it's been a fairly quiet window actually, because we're used to every summer now Reading having to sell off the family silver to pay the debts, but this summer's been quite quiet on the out front. But one name that's come up in the last week or so, I think it's come from The Guardian, Michael Hector, apparently being looked at by Crystal Palace. Is this a realistic move at this stage in Hector's career?
I don't know. I've not heard anything suggest that this is more than just rumour. It kind of fits the bill of what the sort of player that Palace would be looking at, and I think there'll be a lot of Premier League clubs looking at Hector, but I'm just not sure yet. I think I'd be surprised if he goes out. I mean, obviously, if they come in with a big money bid, then Redden will have to look at it, but I'd be very surprised on that one before Tuesday. I think Hector will certainly have another season at the Mad Stad. I mean, to be honest, he's not even playing at the moment, really, is he? And he's going to struggle to get back in the side the way that Anton and Paul McShane have started the season. But I'd be surprised. I think he'll be here on Tuesday.
I'd like to hope so. I mean, he's just signed a new 3-year deal. The ball's very much in Reading's court. Certainly, they wouldn't be selling him on the cheap. This is
no
the case
if someone does come in, he'll be expensive. Like the figures that are being banned around, people talk around sort of 6 million. I think that's certainly what Redden would be looking for if he was to leave in the next couple of days.
Absolutely. As I said, you're under absolutely zero pressure to sell. The club's financially stable or there and thereabouts. So, yeah, if your club does want to come in for him. And also, I don't think Hector's going to be busting a gut to leave either. I said he's just been made vice-captain. He captained the side on Tuesday night. So it doesn't look like this is a situation where a player's agitating for a move either. So I would be surprised if that one gets done.
Yeah. When he signed his new contract in the summer, he said that, you know, he was really, really happy at Reading, and he had no doubts about signing a contract as soon as it was there. He wanted to get it done. He knows that this is a place to progress. And like you say, he's vice captain. I mean, there's not many people his age who are vice captains of a football club as big as Reading. So would he want to go and suddenly fight for a place or sit on the bench or sometimes not even be in a squad of 18 on a match day at a Premier League club? I don't see the point in that. So unless a very, very tempting offer came in, both for the club and for Michael, I would expect to see him stay here.
Okay, well, let's move on then. Reading back in action on Saturday. They're at Griffin Park to face Brent, but it's the last game for an international break, so it'll give us a chance to really take stock and a look back. But heading into this game, few injury doubts we've had over the past couple of weeks. Obviously, we still haven't seen Pavel Pogrebniak. I think it's safe to say Dom Samuel is out for a long time. He's out, 6 to 8 weeks, I believe Steve Clark said. What is the latest on Pog, and are there any other injury doubts besides him?
No, Pog's apparently the only person who is certainly out for the weekend. There's a couple other sort of bruises. I mean, Danny Williams went off with a knock after Tuesday, but Steve Clark seems to think he'll be okay for the weekend. So other than obviously Paolo Hurtado, who's not considered match fit yet, despite the fact he's just been called out to Peru and is going to be flying out on a Sunday for two international games, he's the only other person who's not going to be involved.
Do you think that's maybe a little bit of a smokescreen from Clark? Do you think we might sneak him onto the bench?
Certainly didn't seem to suggest it, but then after the game on Saturday, he said that McCleary was out until after the international break, and then he rocks up 2 days later at Fratton Park scoring a winner. So managers certainly like to play things close to the chest. I think they seem to think that rival managers are glued to the internet and newspapers, reading local papers, reports and injuries and things like that when they start planning their matches. So they tend to tell a few white lies just to throw people off the scent. But I certainly didn't get the impression that Paolo, when I asked him that exact question today, he said no, I've already said Paolo won't be considered until after the international break.
What do you think he's going to do with the team then on Saturday? Because obviously there's a few names knocking on the door. Obviously Alex Fernandez has been bedded in now. We made a brief cameo last Saturday against the McDons, and we've obviously seen Gareth McCleary come off the bench with 20 minutes to go and score a winner, and there's a few other names sort of popping up. Obviously there's that battle at the back with Hector McShane and stuff. How do you see him lining up the team? Do you think you'll see a very similar team to the one that played the MK Dons, or do you think we'll see a few changes?
I think it'll be quite similar. I'm not sure it'll start Gareth yet. I thought Gareth, even after about 25 minutes or whatever it was on Tuesday night, I suppose him afterwards, he looked pretty knackered. And, so whether he's completely fit to start a game yet, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the same side that pretty much played at MK Dons, to be honest. It's really interesting that certainly after the international squad, after the international break, how Redden are going to set up, because you think how they've been playing at the moment, they're obviously going to be very solid, which with Norwood in front of the back four, and then the wide men actually being central midfielders in, say, Quinn sometimes out there or Williams on the right, and obviously they drop back and it's very narrow and that helps the defence. So when suddenly the wingers come back and Clark maybe puts out a more attacking side, will Reading look as solid at the back suddenly without that extra protection that, say, Williams and Quinn give the defence? So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how Reading set up and go forward after the international break. It's got so many options. And you think if Chalobah and Pearzain do come in as well, then where how he fits all this lot into the squad. I was going to say team, but even squads on match days is going to be interesting. It seems like there's going to be some very good players left out at the weekend.
Well, it's brilliant as a fan because, you know, we've been used to Reading having such a small squad, not even a small squad, but such a small squad of established Championship players that can make a difference, that the team's really picked itself over the last couple of years. But now, like you say, got all these new factors coming in. You can play different formations, different styles, and that's not even considering who we might bring in before the deadline. It's actually a really exciting time to be a fan again after... Basically, what did Clark say himself? Was it a spiral of negativity?
Negativity.
So that spiral seems to... It's come to a bit of a stop. Again, I don't think it's been a spectacular start to the season, but it's just those small steps back to... Got a platform to build off. Now we can kick on a gear. But I said, the only thing is, if you do lose at Griffin Park on Saturday, that's five games without a win. It'll be our worst start to a Championship season since we got relegated in 98, which is never a record you want to tie and equal, but...
I still wouldn't feel overly worried if that was the case. So if they do worse to lose, and they could easily lose on Saturday, you know, Brentford are a decent side. They beat Reading twice last season. But I still think going forward that I wouldn't be too worried about this season. I just think that going forward, they're going to get so much stronger when the players get added into the side, when you start seeing Hurtado, when you see fully fit Gareth McCleary, when Alex Fernandez gets himself settled, when hopefully a new striker does arrive and start scoring. I just think that... It's an exciting time to be a Reading fan. I think I'm feeling good about this season, I've got to say, no matter what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, glass very much half full. I wrote in our flash report after the MK Dons, I said that this to me is a team that is on the verge of bursting into form. It's not a team that's on the verge of going into a prolonged slump,
no,
like we saw three
not.
Times last season. So we'll just have to wait and see. The all important thing is though, Charles, prediction league time. Now, me and you both given a Jonathan Bond did us a favour.
He did do us a favour.
both getting us off the mark for the season. Since then, I'm up to 4 points, as is Johnny. Yourself, you're on 3, and Westy props up the league. He hasn't got a single prediction right so far this season. How do you see this one going at Griffin Park?
What have you gone for?
Well, I was just going to open that myself. I want to say I've gone for a... Oh no, I went for a cheeky 1-0 win to Reading. I went for a 1-0 win to Reading. Johnny has gone for a 1-1, and I'm yet to get Westy's prediction.
Don't know. I suppose it depends how the pitch plays and who settles into that, and because it's such a big factor hanging over that pitch. I've just seen a picture that Brentford put up of it, and it looks a bit strange. So I don't think we're going to see the greatest football match being played. I think it might be being played with the ball in the air quite a bit. I am going to go with... You know what? I think Reading are going to win. I'm going to go 2-1 Reading.
2-1 Reading. Okay, well, there we go. So far, we're all positive, so you can obviously blame us when it all goes wrong. Charles, what can we look forward to coming up on getreading.co.uk over the next week or so, heading into the transfer deadline? Will you be blogging?
We'll certainly be blogging. I'll be in the office all day. I'm actually delighted to see that it shuts at 6 o'clock, so it's not going to be a sort of 11 o'clock job as before. Running that blog all day certainly takes its toll.
Have you been promised pizza this year?
Well,
you were promised last year and it didn't deliver.
No, that's true. And I haven't been promised anything this year, actually, no. I'll have to see on that one. But hopefully I'll be out before dinner time anyway, because it's 6 o'clock and Reading get their business done early and we're not waiting for those last couple of hours again. Because what was it last year? It was Yakubu in January, wasn't it? That was the only one who arrived on deadline day. And that was all done nice and early, that one.
It was one of the stories of deadline day in general. That showed how sloppy a day it was.
Yeah, So, obviously that it'll be building up to that and then all the reaction, hopefully, to Reading's new signings for the rest of the week.
Excellent. Well, I said you can head over to getreading.co.uk for that. You can also head over to thetarlesn.com for plenty more fan opinion analysis. Lots of great little articles gone up in the past few days. Very much encourage you to check that out. Also, the main edition of this show went out a little earlier this week with myself, Johnny and Handbags Harris. So check that out. Nice little pub chat of who we consider Reading's main rivals in 2015-16, so always a good talking point, so I encourage you to check that one out. Charles, hopefully we'll chat next week. We can be talking about Robert Berich and Pearzain and lots of other glamorous signings.
Let's have our fingers crossed, shall we?
Yeah, or I can't let you go as well without getting your opinion, because we haven't spoken since. What did you think of the song?
Oh, the song. Well, yeah, the song. It was interesting. I'll tell you what if you can imagine when I first heard that song, being sat in front of Sasma in her executive box at the Medeci Stadium, just basically four people in a room and a very loud laptop in the middle of us all, and being played all 6 minutes of it with Sasma staring at my face nonstop to get my reaction. It was kind of one of the most awkward things I've ever done since I've become a journalist, I think. It was interesting. To be honest, I don't think it sounded so bad on the pitch, because it was kind of drowned out, and they didn't make that big a fanfare of it either.
No.
Which I do wonder, because I think they were planning to. I do wonder if the sort of reaction to it going up, to all the stories going up about it, and you know, get picked up and down the country, really. It did. It was amazing seeing who and where sort of the story that I did was being read by throughout those days. It just went everywhere. And I do wonder if they played it down a little bit, because it didn't come out to much fanfare. They just played it, and she came out and did a speech. But yeah, it was interesting.
So it's not going to be performed at Reading Festival this weekend, is that what you're telling me?
I can't imagine they're going to get up on those stages. That would be quite funny, though. I would quite like to see Sasma roll up next to Metallica and doing that on the Saturday night.
Daphne and Celeste have played, so anyone, surely, fair game for that festival. Anyway, it is time to move on. As I said, we'll be back with the main edition of the show either Monday or Tuesday night. We'll wrap up for the international break. And Charles, hopefully, have a chat to you. Not sure if we'll speak next week because international break, but if not, it'll be 2 weeks' time before the Ipswich game, live on the box.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Well, have a great weekend, mate. Safe trip down to Brentford. Hope you don't get caught up in all the train ruckus that's set to unfold, unfortunately.
No, I'll be carring it all the way, mate.
Excellent. All right. Safe journey, Charles, and I'll speak to you next week.
All right. Speak to you later, mate.
Take Bye-bye. Care. Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.